This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Farm Credit Services of Illinois and by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield.
Crop insurance has become an important piece of the puzzle for today's farms. So why not let the professionals at Farm Credit Services of Illinois show you how crop insurance can be a good fit for your operation? Learn the ins and outs about today's coverage plans, acceptable replant options, and preventative planning guidelines. Plus the latest information on changes to the federal crop insurance program. You get up-to-date information on your policy coverage, delivered by professionals who know farming and the benefits crop insurance can provide. There's a lot to know about crop insurance, and Farm Credit delivers the best value for your premium dollar. For information on crop insurance coverage for your farm, call us today at 800-444-FARM. That's 800-444-F-A-R-M. Crop insurance through Farm Credit of Illinois. It's a good fit.
Get your car ready for the holidays at Taylor Tire and Auto in Litchfield. Wheel alignments, shocks, struts, suspension, steering repairs, and more. Mike Taylor and the experienced staff will diagnose the problem and make the necessary repairs using quality chassis parts. Taylor Tire and Auto Service in Litchfield will be closed from December 24th through January 1st to spend time with family during the holidays. Taylor Tire and Auto at the west end of Tyler Street in Litchfield.
Coming up on 10 minutes after 6 in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now. December wheat trading at 841 and a half up 3. March wheat trading at 858 and a half up 2. December corn now trading at 748 and 3 quarter up 2 and a quarter. March corn trading at 754 and a half up 2 and a half. January soybeans trading at 1436. That's up 8 and a quarter. March beans trading at 1450 and a half, up 8 and a quarter. The overnight crude oil market was 13 cents higher at 88.63. The Brent crude, a nickel higher at 109.89. The February gold contract, $8.10 higher at $1,703.90. The U.S. dollar index, 0.105 higher at 79.749. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, December wheat ended at 838 and a half, down 3 and a half. March wheat ended at 856 and a half, down 4 and a quarter. May wheat ended at 865 and a quarter, down 4. December corn yesterday ended at 746 and a half, down 2 and a half. March corn ended at 752, down 2 and 3 quarter. May corn ended at 753, down 1 and a quarter. January soybeans yesterday ended at 1455 and a half, up 1 and 3 quarter. March beans ended at 1450 and a quarter, up 2. May beans ended at 1428, up a penny. December soybean meal yesterday ended at 447.80, up 26. January meal ended at 440.30, up 17. March meal ended at 433.10, up 15. December soybean oil yesterday ended at 49.74, down 16. January oil ended at 50.06, down 15. March oil ended at 50.54, down 15. December oats yesterday ended at 367 and a quarter, up a half. March oats ended at 385, also up a half. Right now, we'll go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
This is Tuesday's report of grain price and trends prepared by the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were mixed on Tuesday. Commercial buying early in the day at the Board of Trade sent soybean futures higher, but non-commercial selling late left the market just slightly higher. Northern Western Illinois grain deals quoted their corn bids 1 to 3 cents lower at 728 to 715. Soybean bids were mixed at 1417 to 1441. Central Illinois grain deals quoted their corn bids 1 to 4 cents lower at 742 to 759. Soybeans mostly 1 to 2 cents higher at 1436 to 1449. Corn bids in southern Illinois were mixed at 726 to 772. Soybeans 1 to 3 higher at 1449 to 1471. And wheat was 4 to 7 cents lower at 824 to 840. Illinois soybean processors' cash soybean bids were 1 to 2 cents lower at 1462 to 1466, with basis unchanged at 6 to 10 over the January. High Pro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at 458.80 to 467.80. That's $2.60 higher. Illinois corn processors' cash corn bids were 3 to 6 cents lower at 752 to 757, with basis unchanged at 3 lower at option 2 5 over the March. Dry distillers grains with solubles were unchanged at 255 to 270. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted their corn bids 2 to 3 cents lower at 730 to 740, with basis unchanged at 22 to 13 under the March. The soybeans ended 2 to 9 cents higher at 1450 to 1463, with basis unchanged to 7 higher at minus 7 to plus 7 the January. New crop wheat was down 2 to 3 cents at 830 to 836, basis unchanged at minus 36 to minus 30 the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids mixed at 712 to 733. The soybean prices were mixed with quotations at 1471 to 1475. Wheat closed 25 cents higher at 846 to 847. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivery on corn in northern and western Illinois had a range of 595 to 603, and soybeans 1257 to 1279. In central Illinois, new crop corn contracts went at $6 to $6.19, with soybeans $12.70 to $12.87. In southern Illinois, contract bids to producers for new crop delivered corn, $5.87 to $6.32, soybeans at $12.63 to $12.84, and June-July delivered wheat at $8.25 to $8.36. This is Ken McFarland reporting for the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, December hogs ended at 84.45, up 52. February hogs ended at 85.52, down 15. April hogs ended at 89.95, down 72. December cattle yesterday, 126.12, down 87. February cattle, 130.15, down 62. April cattle, 134.25, down 60. January feeder cattle yesterday ended at 145.57, down 2. March feeders 148.27, up a nickel, and April feeders 149.82, unchanged. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Livestock Market Report.
This is the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Market News Service with a closing livestock report. On the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report, barrels and gilts on a carcass basis ended $2.24 higher, with a base price range of $80 to $85.75 and a weighted average of $83.66. The Illinois direct barrel and gilt market was mostly $1 to $2 higher today at $53 to $59. Receipts in Illinois 9,539 head. The Illinois direct slaughter sows traded steady to $2 lower. Sows under 400 pounds 43 to 48, 400 to 500 pounds 43 to 52. Over 500 pounds, $49 to $56. Today's estimated sow receipts, 650 head. In the USDA National Carlop Pork Report, trading was very slow with light demand and light to moderate offerings. The calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was 98 cents higher at $85.76. The estimated daily hog slaughter under federal inspection on Tuesday was 432,000, up 2,000 from a week ago and 4,000 from a year ago. Week-to-date total, 864,000. Week-to-date total is 864,000. The estimated daily cattle slaughter under federal inspection on Tuesday, 129,000. A week ago, 122,000. A year ago, 130,000. Week-to-date total, 249,000. In the USDA estimated box beef cutout values, those values were weak on choice and higher on select on light to moderate demand and offerings. Choice carcasses down 27 cents at 195.05, while select was up $1.93 at 176.52, making the choice select spread at 18.53. We had a light 115 fab loads day and 45 trim loads. The opening report for the United Producers Auction in Shelbyville has estimated receipts of 364 head. Choice slaughter steers and heifers traded steady to $1 lower. Holstein steers $1.50 to $2 lower. Choice slaughter steers 125 to 129. Select and choice 120 to 125. Choice Holstein slaughter steers 115 to 120. Choice slaughter heifers 125 to 126. Select and choice at 124. At the Arthur Sale Barn on Monday, their weekly hay auction had receipts of 778 bales. Premium quality alfalfa at $7.75 to $9. Good quality large squares at $90. Premium quality alfalfa orchard grass, $9 per bale. Good quality alfalfa mixed grass hay, small squares at $5.50. Large squares, $7.50. Large rounds, $75 to $85. Good quality mixed grass, $5.25 to $8.50. Large rounds at $65. Fair quality mixed grass, $2.50 to $3.50. With large rounds, $58. Wheat straw, good quality at $3 to $3.50, and large squares at $24 to $25. This is Kent McFarland reporting for the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday for butter, $1.58, down 1. For block cheese, $1.76, unchanged. For barrel cheese, $1.70 and a quarter, unchanged. The spot price for Class 3 milk ending yesterday, $18.47. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for December, $7.40. For January, $7.41. Corn delivered to Scottville for December, $7.38. For January, $7.41. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for December, $14.48. And for January, $14.48. Wheat delivered to Scottville for December, $8.12. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices again, corn at Greenfield, $7.40, corn at Scottville, $7.38, beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $14.48, wheat at Scottville, $8.12. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Wednesday morning. Color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
Get more from every acre by using Micro Essentials fertilizer with patented fusion technology. Only Micro Essentials combines vital nutrients in one uniquely formulated, nutritionally balanced granule, creating a single source for balanced crop nutrition. The unique chemistry of Micro Essentials ensures optimum nutrient distribution and that all-important nutrient uptake for increased yields across every acre.
M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Across mid-Illinois for your Wednesday, sunny skies, high temperatures in the low 50s with light and variable winds. Tonight, mostly clear, low temperatures in the mid-30s. And for tomorrow, Thursday, partly cloudy skies, the high in the mid-50s. Your extended forecast for Friday through Sunday, cloudy skies and warmer with a day-to-day chance of showers. Low temperatures in the low 40s, highs in the low 60s. Right now at the Weather Center, light north winds, the barometric pressure steady. Our temperature, 34 degrees. It's 621, part two of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, and by Envirofoam of America. In our farm news this morning, Rita Frazier of the Farm Bureau Radio Network was recently in Chicago for the annual meeting of the Illinois Farm Bureau. She talked to a couple of members of the Montgomery County Farm Bureau.
I'm Rita Frazier reporting Ag News here on WSMI, and we are in Chicago for the Illinois Farm Bureau annual meeting, talking to the Montgomery County Farm Bureau President Brian Neiman, Board Member Jay Neiman here with us on a Monday. And Brian, as you guys are taking a break from the general session, what's the feel in the delegate session on this Monday?
Well, we've had some pretty tense issues already this morning. One of the bigger ones that we just finished up was the traceability issue, something that's been going on since, oh gosh, seems like 2005 or so when we were in St. Louis. We've gone back and forth on whether to require a mandatory or voluntary premise ID. Generally, that's been defeated. We've always, as an organization, supported the voluntary part of that program. This year, the GRITS committee, earlier this year, the subcommittee, livestock and dairy, they come up with whole new language to replace that. And after, it felt like at least an hour of debate, it did pass. So that's going to be some new language, new policy language that people are going to have to take a look at, and we'll see where it goes from here.
You certainly have your hands full, lots of issues to be discussed. You also as a group were recognized for the past year. You were recognized in the awards ceremony on Saturday night for membership. That's great for the county.
Yes, it is. Membership for us, not just in the county, but the state as a whole, is very important. As everyone knows, farmer numbers are kind of going down. Farms are getting bigger. It's getting more and more difficult, seems like, to bring the next generation back home. And this year in Montgomery County, we put a little more emphasis on making membership quota. We had a membership committee, and I want to thank those committee members for all they did, and especially everyone who's, you know, continues their support in Farm Bureau and continues their membership. So we received a gold star for those efforts this year.
Last month in November, your annual meeting there in Hillsboro, you also celebrated the year, and you also said goodbye to a couple hardworking board members.
Yeah, we had two great board members went off this year. We have term limits, and their time was up, and that would be Tracy Dressler from Grisham. He was our secretary for a long time, and also Jim Wiedekamp from Boydart.
You really have been blessed with a great board, volunteering for years in many cases to the Farm Bureau.
Yeah, we've, well, since I've been on the board, this is, I guess, my 11th year now. We've always had a great board, and it changes as it should, but we've always gotten along pretty well, and it's been a great board and committee to belong to.
Gotta check. Also, Jay Neiman is with us, and Jay, we talked about the year for the Farm Bureau. How about the year for you guys as farmers there in the county? How'd it go?
This year was quite surprised with the soybean yields that we had gotten this year after we got the timely rains in August. But the corn yields that we had gotten were quite disappointing. But with all the heat, a lot of the farmers kind of expected that. So, but we'll live to try it again next year.
And really, as we've all talked about, the drought that affected you throughout the year is now coming back to haunt us, really, in a worse way with the river situation. And that's something you guys have talked about here in Chicago.
Yes, we've addressed that the river situation with the barge traffic is going to be a ongoing kind of watch and see what happens and kind of just take it from there.
And it sounds like it's going to take everyone to kind of get involved here. They're urging everyone, commodity groups and members back at home, to sort of stay tuned and get on the phone if they have to.
Yeah, that's right. We all need to stay in touch with our politicians and with our people that represent us, and just become involved.
And that was Rita Frazier talking with a couple of members of the Montgomery County Farm Bureau. 26 minutes after the hour of 6. Tuesday, we talked to Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions, and we talked about factors affecting the grain train, and we began with river levels on the Mississippi.
Now, we're most concerned about being able to keep the Mississippi River open north of St. Louis, and the National Weather Service, which projects river flows, keeps pushing back the date at which the river will fall 5 foot below their established standard level. That's the level at which the Corps of Engineers typically closes the river. So right now we're looking at some date, probably December 18th or later, that keeps getting pushed back. And, of course, that's good news. The barges are still operating on low drafts, meaning they can't carry as much grain per load, which increases the cost per bushel for transport, but at least we're able to move grain through. But we seriously need some moisture in order to try to maintain those river levels.
And those river levels, the way they affect barge traffic, like you said, they have to raise the drafts of those barges. But in, you know, with all of that, it's still cheaper to ship grain that way than, say, for instance, rail cars down to the Gulf, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, we still do have rail as an alternative, but as you said, floating it down the water is certainly cheaper and the preferred way to go, particularly with the threat of a labor strike with longshoremen in the Pacific Northwest who are operating now on an extended contract, and hopefully we'll be able to have that contract dispute settled here over the next couple of weeks as well.
Another factor affecting the grain trade is probably the talks about the quote-unquote fiscal cliff.
Absolutely, and we're seeing a great deal of uncertainty, as you indicated, coming out of Washington on how that's going to be settled, if it will be settled, and that leaves fund managers managing that flow of money that seems to impact day-to-day trade at so much of a question. And as long as that uncertainty exists, no matter what the fundamentals are, unless they're very, very compelling, they're very reluctant to put money into so-called riskier asset classes. So it's very difficult to sustain a move in the market with them building ownership. That most hurts our ability to be able to rally the markets. If we have a legitimate weather threat in South America, I think the markets still could rally, but otherwise it's going to be difficult until we see some resolution.
With the markets the way they are and these fiscal cliff issues, do you think that some of these market managers or fund managers will liquidate whatever holdings they have in the grain trade?
Very possible we could. There's still a lot of fund money in the markets overall, but of those funds that are most concerned about the potential for a tax increase and for 2013, many of them already liquidated starting early in November. So as I understand, I'm certainly not a tax advisor, but as I understand from people in the industry, if you're going to liquidate for those reasons to pay 2012 tax rates on gains rather than 2013, you have to stay out of the market, cannot reestablish that position for a 30-day window. So for those who started liquidating early November, they've run that 30-day window now and could reestablish their positions at any point, should the fundamentals justify. They're simply waiting for more clarity out of Washington as well as more clarity on Dodd-Frank.
You mentioned a moment ago the weather in South America. What's the latest on that?
Persistent rains continuing to be a problem in Argentina, threatening the acreage, first of corn. Right now we're seeing producers saying, well, it's getting too late to plant corn. I think I'll shift to soybeans. The next question is whether they'll get those soybean acres planted. They really have the next few weeks to get those acres planted. Of course, then you start running into yield reductions. Right now the forecast looks very wet through Thursday, some ongoing flooding problems. Then it looks like it dries out a little with some ongoing showers, and then the 10 to 15 day looks pretty wet again, looks wetter this morning once again in the models. So it continues to be a problem. There are some dry areas in Brazil, but overall Brazil as a unit looks like we still need to plan on trend yields, although total production estimates are starting to ease lower.
Sounds like a problem we'd like to have up here, though.
Yeah, exactly right. We'd like to have some of those showers. Of course, Brazil gets so much rain normally anyway, they can grow a crop with a below normal rainfall. Just depends on how below normal it is.
And that was Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions. The prolonged drought just keeps causing problems. The American Farm Bureau transportation specialist Andrew Walmsley talks about the ripple effect that could cause an economic catastrophe in this report from the American Farm Bureau's Jonna Miller.
In a matter of days, unless something drastic happens, the Middle Mississippi River is expected to be too low to support commercial navigation.
The Army Corps is required to reduce flows for the Missouri River, where a majority of the Mississippi River gets its water flows this time of year. And so with those releases decreasing, along with rock pinnacles that are protruding in the Mississippi River, it's making it a rough go for a 9-foot barge depth to get through. At this point, the river will shut down the middle of December. The question is, for how long?
American Farm Bureau transportation specialist Andrew Walmsley says most people don't realize what a catastrophic impact that would have on the economy.
We're talking close to $7 billion potential dollar impact, and this is just over the next couple months, December and January. You'll have impacts all the way down the river. We talk about jobs. You're looking at close to $130 million in lost wages and loss of about 20,000 jobs.
Farm Bureau and many others are asking the president to issue an emergency declaration for the Mississippi that would allow the Corps of Engineers to take actions to keep the river flowing enough for barge traffic.
We're looking for a balanced approach, a moderated but steady release of water that is needed to keep the Mississippi River flowing at a depth needed for commerce. The other thing is to expedite the removal of rock pinnacles that are in the Mississippi to give us a little bit more clearance on these low water levels to get us through until hopefully the spring and when rains come again. Obviously, if it doesn't rain, we're going to have ongoing issues that are going to be much more long-term, but we're hoping to find a short-term solution and then praying for rain.
Jonna Miller, Washington.
The Illinois Agronomy Handbook is now available online. Todd Gleason has more.
The University of Illinois Agronomy Handbook is up and available online. The web address is extension.cropsci.illinois.edu/handbook. For decades, the Agronomy Handbook has been a major source of agronomic information in the state and throughout the Corn Belt. It was first produced in the 1970s and has been updated 24 times. Extension agronomist Emerson Nafziger says the paperback copy of the 24th edition has enjoyed good sales and is in wide use. And now that the investment in the paperback copy has been recouped, Extension has moved it online. Again, the address is extension.cropsci.illinois.edu/handbook. Well, chapters of the Illinois Agronomy Handbook can be viewed and downloaded from the website. Nafziger says given the continued push of broadband internet access into rural areas, the 24th edition of the handbook may be the very last copy and may be the last fully updated edition. That's because the online version allows individual chapters to be revised quickly as needed. The web version of the Illinois Agronomy Handbook will also allow calculators, audio, video, and many other multimedia formats to enhance its usability. Again, the Illinois Agronomy Handbook is online and free to use. The address is extension.illinois.edu, that stands for education, /handbook. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Some other notes in the news on this Wednesday morning. According to the U.S. Census Bureau figures, United States soybean farmers exported more than 1.8 billion bushel of U.S. soy, valued at $23 billion during the 2011-2012 marketing year. That compares to 2 billion bushel in 2010-2011. The 2012 export numbers include 1.3 billion bushel of whole soybeans, meal from more than 404 million bushel, and the oil from 126.5 million bushel of soybeans. With U.S. farmers harvesting 3.05 billion bushel of soybeans last year, the exports represent about 55% of production. A Senate vote on the Russia-Moldova-Jackson-Vankey Repeal Act of 2012 could come as early as today. The American Soybean Association is encouraging all senators to vote yes on the House-passed version of the bill without amendment. If passed by the Senate and signed into law by the President, the bill would establish permanent normal trade relations with the world's ninth largest economy. American Soybean Association President Steve Wellman says American soybean farmers can reap the benefits of more than 140 million consumers and a fast-growing economy, which last year imported more than $770 million in American meat, poultry, egg, and dairy products. Until the U.S. graduates Russia from the Jackson-Vanik Amendment and establishes permanent normal trade relations, he says we will not be able to fully access the Russian market without penalty. The Environmental Protection Agency has approved grain sorghum as an eligible feedstock under the Renewable Fuel Standard. Sorghum Checkoff Chairman Bill Kubeka says this is a significant step forward for the sorghum industry. He says this will make sorghum a more profitable biofuel feedstock for the renewables industry, thus increasing the value and demand for sorghum. The Agriculture Council of America is calling on 9th and 12th grade students to submit a 450-word essay or a 2-minute video essay on the importance of agriculture through the theme American Agriculture, Nourishing Opportunities. This year's theme is an opportunity for students to address how the ag industry is an endless source of opportunity for growth and development. The national written essay winner receives a $1,000 prize and a round-trip ticket to Washington, D.C. to be recognized at the Celebration of Ag Dinner on March 19th. The video essay winner also receives a $1,000 cash prize, and the video will play during the Celebration of Ag Dinner. All written entries must be sent through the mail or emailed to essay@agday.org by February 1st. Video essays may be mailed in or uploaded at http://agday.leadfile.net. Once again, agday.leadfile.net. Once again, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now, December wheat trading at 8.43, that's up 4.5. March wheat trading at 8.60, that's up 3.5. December corn now trading at 749 and a half, up 3. March corn trading at 754 and a quarter, up 2 and a quarter. July soybeans now trading at 1464 and a half, up 9 and a quarter. March beans trading at 1459 and a half, up 9 and a quarter. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on both WSMI and WSMI FM 106. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, and by Envirofoam of America.